أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the statements number 6, 8, 9 and 10 and also 11, 12, 13, 14, and 14, Amir al-Mu'mineen speaks about the people who followed the camel carrying the wife of the Prophet called Ashab al-Jamal. Of course, these are different bits and pieces of Amir al-Mu'mineen's statements on different occasions, collected and put together here by Sharif al-Razi. Of course, he has put them in an order to denote that he had different statements on different occasions, and we could put them on the same thread. Of course, these are very short statements recorded from Amir al-Mu'mineen, and the longer versions are found in other books. However, in Nahj al-Balagha, as we mentioned several times, the purpose of Sharif al-Razi was to bring only the most eloquent statements known in Arabic language. And therefore he has picked those sentences which are parables and examples of eloquence in Arabic language and has brought them here. Now, statement number 6, we cannot call it a sermon. Of course, it's a part of a sermon given in an occasion. However, now it's just a short statement recorded from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Here, Sharif al-Razi says, لَمَّا أُشِيرَ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلَّا يَتَّبَعَ طَلْحَةَ وَالزُّبَيْرَ وَلَا يُرْصِدَ لَهُمَ الْقِتَانَ وَفِيهِ يُبَيِّنُ عَنْ صِفَتِهِ لَأَنَّهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ لَا يُخْفَى. When he was told, a suggestion came to him that he should not follow Talha and Zubayr. Should not ambush them, or should not wait or obstruct their way, and consequently make a fight against them. He had made that statement when the suggestion came to him to this effect. Because, as you know, I will go through the story of Talha and Zubayr and what happened to him. When they wanted to move out and to start the battle against Amir al-Mu'mineen, and Amir al-Mu'mineen knew what they wanted to do, where they were going, people didn't know what type of stance should Amir al-Mu'mineen take against Talha and Zubayr, because these were two very close companions of the Prophet, peace be on him. And people were confused, should we fight in the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali, or should we fight in the army of Talha and Zubayr and Aisha, which one? And many people were confused in this. You can imagine yourself in that situation. And you will find the decision making was very hard. That's why some people said, do not make a fight against Talha and Zubayr. You will lose your credibility right from the beginning. Now, what Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions here, I mentioned, and then I'll go through the story of Talha and Zubayr and who they were, and how prominent and important they were among other Sahaba of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He said that, wallahi, when he was told as such, the suggestion came to him that just leave them do whatever they want and do not lose your credibility by fighting against them. He said, wallahi, la akunu kadhabu. Kadhabu is an animal which is deceived very easily. It's called badger in English. Now, of course, these badgers were famous in Arab, especially as an example in Arabic language, of an animal which is deceived very easily. Because they said when they wanted to hunt these animals, the badgers, usually they went into holes or caves, and the one who wanted to hunt them, they went to the opening of the hole or the cave, and they started to beat the ground with some stone or stick or something continuously and in a very soft manner. And the badger started to sleep. And then they made lots of poetry about that. Because usually they said when the hunters wanted to hunt this zabo, what they said, they went to the opening of the hole, they started to hit the ground with a stone to give a very continuous type of constant sound. And then they started to say, Hamari Abu Amr, Hamari Abu Amr, sleep Abu Amr. And Abu Amr, they meant this zabo, the badger. And they said that by this way, the animal would have slept. And then they could hunt, just put a rope around their legs and pull them out of the hole. Now, it was an example, a parable in Arabic language. And Amir al-Mu'min uses that here. He says, I wouldn't be like a badger. Anamu ala tul al-ladam. For the whole period of that constant beating and hitting of the earth, giving the sound, he would sleep. Hatta yasla ilayha talibha. The animal would sleep until the hunter goes and hunts it. I am not going to be like that. Now, of course, Amir al-Mu'min is alluding to something very important. That as up till now, he didn't have power. He was doing whatever he wanted. Now that he's a ruler, he has to protect his authority. And he cannot just leave and people go and do different things and say, okay, I leave them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does to them whatever they deserve. No, I'm not going to be like that. Wallahi la akunu kazzabu. I swear by Allah, I wouldn't be like a badger. Anamu ala akun al-ladam. He would leave the whole length of those beatings, hatta yasila ilayha talibuha, until the hunter who is after them, after it, would reach it, wayakhtilaha rasiduha, and the person who lies in ambush would deceive them. Well, of course, what I do, I'm not going to sleep like the badger. Walakinni adribu بالمقبل إلى الحق المدبر عنه. With those who have turned towards the truth, towards Haq, I will hit the face of those who have turned away from Haq. Means that now that I have power and I have people around me who have turned to the truth, I will fight with the help of these people, those who have turned away from Haq. وبالسامع المطيع العاصي المريد. And I will fight with the help of those who listen and obey against those who disobey and doubt. Abadan, of course, I'll do that as a constant habit. Hatta ya'tiya alayya yawmi, until my day comes and I pass away. I'm going to do that. Fawalla, ma ziltu madfu'an an haqqi, musta'tharan alayya. منذ قبض الله نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى يوم الناس هذا. I swear by Allah that I was constantly deprived of my right, which was of course Khilafa of the Prophet. I was deprived of my right, and other people were given my right. مستأثرا علي. استثار is to given one person's right to another person's right, to another person, and my right was given to others. From since the Prophet, peace be on him, had been taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, passed away until this day. Hatta yawmin na sahanda. So I'm not going, now that the power has come to me, and by this power I can establish justice and truth, I'm not going to lose it. I'm not going to wait for other people to come and take it out of my hand. Now, several things we can understand from this khutbah. Of course, the most important is that the rulership means, of course, conflict, battles, and a person like Amirul Mu'mineen, who is very much inclined towards Akhirah, has no other choice but to involve in all these things. He has to come forth, he has to involve himself in all these things. And secondly, the planning is very important. It's not the case that since a Muslim is with Haqq, he could lead things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially when they are in charge of the society, in charge of the community, they have to plan, they have to think, they have to be aware of deceptions that might come from different quarters, they have to be careful not to be deceived by others. This is another thing that Amirul Mu'mineen said, it's not good to be like a badger and be deceived all the time by the hunter and to become a hunt of others. We have to plan, think, and counter the plot and conspiracy. Now, the most bitter instance of Amirul Mu'mineen's Khilafah, which of course came right at the beginning, was this Battle of Jamal. The Safid was very easy for Amirul Mu'mineen to fight with Muawiyah. That was not a big deal, because Muawiyah and people around him were known for everyone. Nahrawan and Khawarij, they were very difficult because they were outwardly, apparently they were very pious people. All the time they had words of Quran in their mouth, but they did not have that type of background and history among Muslims. They were not prominent companions of the Prophet. They were not people of outstanding prominence among Muslims. However, in the first battle that Amirul Mu'mineen had, the Jamal, the people fighting on the other side were not insignificant people. First of all, and first and foremost, was Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen riding on a camel, encouraging people to go and fight against Amirul Mu'mineen. And of course, this was something that could have very easily enticed people into that war. Talha and Zubayr were people who were promised paradise by the Prophet. And these were on different occasions. And how we can actually bring this into our understanding and theology about what Prophet said and how his companions acted after him is something that we have to address very seriously. Now, Talha was one of the companions of the Prophet, peace be on him, who was as well a member of the Shura that Umar appointed. So, very prominent person. Because the six people appointed for the Shura, out of which Uthman came out as a caliph, were very prominent people, everyone respected them. One of them was Talha. And he was one of the people who steadfastly protected the Prophet in Uhud. And you know, in the Battle of Uhud, people dispersed from around the Prophet, just only a few people stood by the Prophet, protected the Prophet. One of them was Talha. And he lost actually some of his fingers there while Saul was coming to the Prophet. He protected the Prophet with his own fingers, with his own hand. And therefore, you can now imagine what type of respect he gained by that type of sacrifice. that he offered to the Prophet, peace be on him. And it was on that occasion that the Prophet has reportedly said that Al-Yawm awjaba Talha al-Jannah. Today, paradise became wajib for Talha, for what he did. Now, that's why they say he's one of the Al-Asharatul Mubashara, the 10 people who were promised paradise. Of course, these 10 people were not people who were at once mentioned by the Prophet that they were going to go to paradise. On different occasions, one of the occasions was Uhud, that Talha, of course, very bravely protected the Prophet, and he has reportedly received a statement from the Prophet that Al-Yawm awjaba Talha al-Jannah. Today, paradise is wajib for Talha. That this is the promise of paradise, of course. Now, how we are going to resolve the issue of someone fighting against Ali alayhi salam and then having that history is an issue that we have to address, as I said. And you can realize the difficulty of the situation for Ali alayhi salam, peace be on him, fighting against Talha and Zubair. As I said, they were not insignificant people. They were people who had respect all their lives due to their companionship and due to the sacrifices they offered for the Prophet, peace be on him. And Zubair, of course, more important than Talha, although he was not, although he was a family member of the house of the Prophet and Ali alayhi salam, but this was not his only merit. He had many other merits as well. He was Zubair ibn al-Awam, ibn Khuwaylid ibn Asad, and therefore he was his mother was Safiya bint Abdul Muttalib, who was an aunt to the Prophet, peace be on him. So he was a cousin of the Prophet, a cousin of Ali, peace be on him, and between him and Ali was a very close relationship from the early days of Islam. Both of them fighting with each other, alongside with each other, for the cause of Islam. And again, this is Zubair was another one of those 10 people who were promised paradise by the Prophet. And another person who had actually stayed with the Prophet on the day of Uhud. And it is reported from the Prophet that لَكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ حَوَارِي وَحَوَارِي الزُّبَيْرِ. Every Prophet has a close disciple, and my close disciple is Zubair. It is not, of course, inconceivable that Prophet has mentioned such a statement on some occasions about these people, about some of his companions. It's completely conceivable. And the close relationship that was between Zubair and Ali as cousins as well is mentioned in the history. So it was a very, very bitter occasion for Ali to fight against both Talha and Zubair. Now, what happened? After Ali was given the rulership, the caliphate, Talha and Zubair went to him. Now, what exactly they told him, I want to find that, and to see why the fight actually broke out between Talha and Zubair and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Here Ibn Abi al-Hadith says that after Amir al-Mu'mineen was given the bay'ah, جَاءَ الزُّبَيْرُ وَتَلْهَا إِلَىٰ عَلِي عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Just a few days after the bay'ah, and they told him, يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قَدْ رَأَيْتَ مَا كُنَّا فِيهَ مِنَ الْجَفْوَى فِي وَلَايَةِ عُثْمَانِ كُلَّهَا. You know that we were wrong and declined during the time of Uthman. And they were, of course, prominent companions of the Prophet. And you know how Uthman treated Banu Umayyah and how he treated us. And now, وَقَدْ وَلَّاكَ اللَّهَ الْخِلَاقَ مِنْ بَعْدٍ. Now Allah has given you the khilafa after him. فَوَلَّنَا بَعْدَ أَعْمَالِكَ. So you have now to appoint us to some of the county, to some cities. فَقَالَ لَهُمَا أَمِرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ told them that أَرْضِيَا بِقَسْمِ اللَّهِ لَكُمَا حَتَّى أَرَى رَعِيِّ. You have to be content with what Allah has bestowed for you. And wait until I decide about you, what I want to do. Whether I want to appoint you to somewhere or I do want to appoint you somewhere. وَأَلَمَا أَنِّي لَا أُشْرِكُ فِي أَمَانَتِي إِلَّا مَنْ أُرْضِي بِذِينِهِ وَأَمَانَتِي مِنْ أَصْحَابِي. And you should know, I'm not going to appoint anyone to share anyone with my power unless I establish the sincerity of their faith and their amana, their trustfulness. I have to know, I have to examine, I have to see who's most trustful, who's most sincere, then I give my amana. I will share my power with them. Wait until I... They went out and they negotiated with themselves. They came back to Ali and they said, would you permit us to go to Umrah? Now, this is where the whole problem is found. Again, he reports that specifically, Talha and Zubayr asked Ali to appoint them as rulers of Basra and Kufa. He said, okay, I will think about it, whether I want to appoint you as rulers of Basra and Kufa or not. Then he negotiated with Mughayrat ibn Shu'bah. Of course, Mughayrat ibn Shu'bah was an enemy of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and then he joined the camp of Muawiyah. But why Amir al-Mu'mineen consulted with Mughayrat ibn Shu'bah? Because at that time he was the ruler of Kufa. Because he was a ruler of Kufa from the time of Umar and then Uthman. And then later on, Amir al-Mu'mineen deposed him. And then again, at the time of Muawiyah, he was reinstated as ruler of Kufa. So he, Amir al-Mu'mineen, just out of respect, consulted him. And he told Amir al-Mu'mineen that, yes, these are not insignificant people. And of course, you don't have Banu Umayyah behind you, as Uthman has, so they can make trouble for you. What I suggest, you say that these people are not after sincerity, they are after rulership. What I suggest to you is that you give them Basra and Kufa now, and let them rule there until your power is established. And then you do whatever you want. You want to impose them or whatever. Now, and of course, this was, politically, this was a good consultation, good advice given to Ali by Mughayrat ibn Shu'bah. Now, then Ali, alayhi salam, consulted Ibn Abbas. And all these give us lessons as well. I mean, a person like Ali consults different people about an issue, like, for example, appointing a person for ruling a city. He asked Ibn Abbas, قَالَ مَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَمِرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّ الْكُوفَ وَالْبَصْرَ أَيْنُ الْخِلَافَ. Kufa and Basra are two eyes of Khilafah. If you lose Kufa and Basra, you know, Kufa and Basra were garrison cities, were barracks, actually, and they were formed and established by Umar as two very main centers of army from which he could attack both Iran and Rome. So from Basra he could attack Iran, and from Kufa he could attack Rome, Sham, and therefore the whole power of Khilafah was based in Basra and Kufa. Now, he said, Ibn Abbas said, well, you know, Basra and Kufa are very important, it's not insignificant cities. They are the eyes of Khilafah. And وَمَكَانُ Talha وَزُبَيْرٍ مَنَ الْإِسْلَامِ مَا قَدْ عَلِمْ And Talha and Zubayr are not insignificant people. You know how important they are for the people. What would happen if you appoint them to for Basra and Kufa? They get a strength. Then they can conspire against you. وَلَسْتُ عَمِنُهُمَا إِنْ وَلَّيْتُمَا أَنْ يُحْدِثَ عَمْرًا I'm not sure that if you give them the rulership that they are not going to fight against you. Then Ali said, okay, I will think about all these things. And interestingly enough, Mughayra gave the same consultation to Ali about Muawiyah. Because Mughayra said, do not depose Muawiyah, do not remove Muawiyah from his power now, because you are not powerful at the moment. Let him be there for a while, and let him pay allegiance to you, and after a while you would remove him. Again, politically it was a good opinion. However, Amir al-Mu'min was not after politics. He was, of course, a wise person, but he wanted to establish values for us. Not just how a politician can win and rule the support of people, and then he could discard of them whenever they are weak or whenever they gain power. So he didn't take that advice as well. Now what he did, he told to Talha and Zubayr, wait until I think, then sense that Amir al-Mu'min is not a man who would deal with people, who would make deal with people, who would bargain about the Khilafah. So they started among themselves to think about some other means. Now, it was in this midst that Muawiyah found out that what is the position of Talha and Zubayr. So he wrote them a letter. Now, you can see how shrewd Muawiyah was at that time. He wrote them a letter, and to Zubayr. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لعبد الله الزبير أمير المؤمنين من معاوية ابن أبي سفيان. So he called Zubayr Amir al-Mu'mineen, meaning that I do not pay allegiance to Ali, I pay allegiance to you. Now how simple-minded Zubayr was, thinking that Muawiyah is going to pay allegiance to him and calling him Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, Salamun alayk, amma ba'd, فَإِنِّي قَدْ بَايَعْتُ لَكَ أَهْلَ الشَّمْ I have taken the bay of أَهْلُ الشَّمْ for you. You are now Amir al-Mu'mineen. From Sham, you can be relieved. Everyone has given you the pledge. And what I suggest, فَدُونَكَ الْكُوفَ وَالْبَصْرَ Now be careful, take Kufa and Basra. Now, as I said, Kufa and Basra was very, very important. Very important, and Muawiyah wanted Amir al-Mu'min not to have those two cities. So he said, go to Kufa and Basra. لا يسلغك إليها ابن أبي طالب. Be careful, Ali ibn Abi Talib do not take you, precede you in taking those two cities. فإنه لا شيء بعدها بين المصرين. Because after these two cities, there's nothing else. If you take these two cities from Ali, he has no power completely. And what else I have done? قَدْ بَايَعْتُ لِتَلْحَةِ ابْنُ عُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ And I have taken the pledge for Talha after you, that after you die, Talha will become the caliph. فَأَظْهَرَا أَتْحَلَبْ بِدَمُ عُثْمَان Go and seek the blood of Uthman, the recompense for the blood of Uthman, retribution for the blood of Uthman. And this is what exactly they did. It really amazes a person looking into the history how these people, close companions of the Prophet, were played by Muawiyah at his cards against Ali, peace be on him. So go and ask for the blood of Uthman وليكن منكم الجد والتشمير أظفركم الله. May God give you victory and success. وخذل مناورُكما and may he humiliate your enemies. Now, when the letter came to Zubayr, he was out of himself. Well, Muawiyah has taken the whole pledge of Sham, Bay of Sham for me. He went to Talha and he said, we are now Amir al-Mu'mineen. I am Amir al-Mu'mineen first, you are Amir al-Mu'mineen second. And they did not doubt at all that Muawiyah was conspiring for me. They said, yes, Muawiyah has taken the pledge for us. And they started their plan. The first thing they did, they went to Ali and they said, we want to go for Umrah. Now, of course, Ali sensed the trouble. Why these people are moving out from Medina. So he told them that, I know you are not going to Umrah, but be careful, do not break the pledge that you have made with me. Because they had paid allegiance to Ali. They had made bay'ah with Ali. They were from among the first people who had made bay'ah with Ali. Now Ali says that you want to move out. I know I'm sensing something out of this, but be careful, do not break the pledge and the allegiance that you have with me. Now, the story is mentioned again by Ibn Abi al-Hadith. He says that Zubayr and Talha came to Ali. They asked permission to go to Umrah. فَقَالَ مَنْ أُمْرَةَ تُرِيدَانِ Ali said, I know you are not intending to go to Umrah. فَحَلَفَا لَهُ بِاللَّهِ أَنَّهُمَا مَا يُرِيدَانِ غَيْرَ الْأُمْرَةِ They swear by Allah that they only want to go to Umrah. Again, Ali told them, you are not intending to go to Umrah. مَنْ أُمْرَةَ تُرِيدَانِ وَإِنَّمَا تُرِيدَانَ الْغَدْرَةِ You are intending to betray. وَنَكْتَ الْبَيْعَةِ You want to break your pledge. Again, they swear by Allah, and this is very famous, three times they swear by Allah, that you are not intending anything but Umrah. فَحَلَفَ بِاللَّهِ مَا الْخَلَافُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا نَكْتُ بَيْعَةً يُرِيدَانِ They swear by Allah, they are not intending to oppose him or to break their pledge. وَمَا رَأْيُهُمَا غَيْرَ الْأُمْرَةِ They are not intending for anything but the Umrah. قَالَ لَهُمَا Now, Ali told them, okay, I accept from you. فَأُعِيدَ الْبَيْءَ لِي ثَانِيَةً Give me another pledge. Give me another bay'ah, so that you assure me that you are going for Umrah only, not for anything else. And what they did, فَأَعَادَاهَا بَأَشَدَّ مَا يَكُونُ مِنَ الْأَيْمَانِ وَالْمَوَاسِيرِ They repeated their pledge with Ali with the severest and strongest swears and pledges that is possible. We are with you, we pay allegiance to you, we make bay'ah with you. And after this, فَأَذَنَ لَهُمَا He said, okay, I permit you, you go. فَلَمَّا خَرَجَ مِنَّهُ When they went out, قَالَ لِمَنْ كَانَ حَاضِرًا He told to those people who were at his presence, Ali alayhi salam, وَاللَّهِ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمَا إِلَّا فِي فِتْنَةٍ يَقْتَتِلَانِ فِيهِمَا I swear by God you are not going to see them after this, unless in a fitna in which they are going to fight against me. قَالُوا يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَمُرَّ بِرَفْتِهِمَا عَلَيْكَ He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'min, ordered them to be brought back to you. قَالَ لِيَغَضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَحْمُولًا Now Allah has a plan that they should go. This is going to be done, it's going to happen. There's nothing that means. Now, one question, of course I just make the question, put the question and leave it for next week because we are running out of time. The question is, these were the people about whom the Prophet has said very nice things. It is not improbable that Prophet had said about them that Talha is one of the people who deserves paradise, or Zubayr is one of the people who deserves paradise. But how can we somehow bring together those statements with what they did? And how can we judge them, having their past history in mind with the Prophet and seeing all these things. Now, this is not something reported by Shi'i sources. This is something reported in the history by Ibn Abi al-Hadid, how they broke their pledge, how they gave another pledge to Ali, and how when they went out, they went directly to Basra instead of going to Umrah. Why they had swept 3 times by Allah that they are going to go to Umrah, they didn't go to Umrah, they went to Basra to fight Ali alayhi salam. So how can we somehow make compromise between these conflicting attitudes and conflicting statements that we hear about these people? I leave this for next week, inshallah, and maybe we discuss it in question then. Yes.
Sheikh, one of your lectures earlier, you said that if a person leaves, Allah will never let him make a serious mistake. He may make a mistake, he may move another, but never make a serious one. So what happens here?
If a person is a believer,
Allah will never make him make such a serious mistake.
Yeah. So it means that sincerity is very important in all these things. And if the level of sincerity is not sufficient, then Allah might lead people to commit such a mistake. Yeah, we have to discuss this when we are answering this question, actually. I just posed this.
What was the situation surrounding Talha's death as a resident? I mean, did they run away, then they were killed?
I will discuss this next week, inshallah, because it's all mentioned in the history. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you give any of that advice on maintaining sincerity?
We just have to be very careful all the time and just seek refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be very careful about what we say, what we do, all the time see ourselves in danger of going into, falling into pitfalls, going astray, and therefore keep ourselves on the straight path by worship, by recitations of the Quran, by du'as and all these things. And, we are here to be tested for our sincerity. So, I mean, that's the whole purpose why we are here. So it's a very difficult process.
Just as a question.
A couple of weeks ago, you mentioned how Talha and Zubair brought their allegiance to the Amir Mu'mini and that the consequences of this was manifest. Could you please explain our pledge to the Imam of our time and how this is broken and the consequences of this pledge? And lastly, the importance of making this pledge manifest
in our daily life. Well, inshallah, we have not broken our pledge with Imam the situation is very different, of course. I mean, we intend to have a pledge with him, inshallah, when he comes. And we intend not to break away from him. However, the whole issue is to learn lessons from the story of Talha and Zubayr. They made pledge to Ali, they were followers for a while, and then they broke away due to some vested interest. And we have to be careful, inshallah, of course all of us now, maybe every morning recite this dua of Ahd, and we say that now we pledge with the Imam, we make allegiance with the Imam. We have to be careful, inshallah, to keep our sincerity. If Imam alayhi salam comes back in our lifetime, inshallah, we could somehow pay a true allegiance to him and do not break it. However, when he is absent, I don't know, it's very difficult to compare the two situations. Yes.
How did Aisha get caught up in this? What was she calling? I'm assuming that she wasn't the person who was instigating anything, but rather she was suffering through it or something.
Yeah, she was brought into the whole issue as an emblem, because Talha and Zubayr, they saw that by themselves they could not muster forces. from among Muslim community. So they needed a type of superior emblem that would be so significant as Ummul Mu'mineen, for example. And they used the bitterness that existed in Aisha and Ali from long time. And it's amazing how they did it. Of course, Muawiyah was very instrumental in this as well. I mean, the deceptions of Muawiyah, the type of machinations that he used, it was very much instrumental in this. The amazing thing is that one of the strongest critics of Uthman was Aisha. And now they brought her into an affair which was actually outstandingly demanding the retribution for the blood of Uthman. And this is a very amazing thing. I mean, analyzing this history is very difficult. How these different parties came together, how they could bring Aisha in. And inshallah, we'll discuss some parts, some aspects of it next week, how Aisha came into this war. And this was not a war which, of course, she had started. It was something which was started by some other party, and she was brought into it. Inshallah, we'll discuss this next week.
And sorry, on that point also, the
skill and
cunning of Muawiyah, was it himself or was it Amr ibn
As,
even back in the
beginning? Well, certainly Amr ibn As was not as talented as Muawiyah was in these issues. He was very talented, and when they joined forces, then they could really make an influence, and a very significant influence. But right from the beginning, Muawiyah himself was a very talented man in these issues.
Sheikh Imam Ali had a doubt that Salman Zubair were not going to go to Umrah, but were going to go to Basra. Had he received some intelligence or something was telling him?
No, probably he knew Talha and Zubair for a long time. You know, they were in that shura as well. And they didn't vote for him. He knew that they were after this khalafah. Our people didn't go to them. Probably, maybe he was aware of the letter written to them by Muawiyah somehow. It was probably not very difficult for him to surmise, if we don't talk about the Elmul Ghayb that he had in many occasions. It was not very difficult for him to surmise that what was the intention of these people. And in fact, what the history says, as is recorded by Ibn Abi al-Hadith, he had no doubt about it. He was quite certain that these people were going to go to Umrah. And the way he speaks, of course, the way it's written here, it insinuates, it implies a type of Elmul Ghayb of Imam, because they told the Imam, why do you not bring them back if you are so sure about their intention? He said, لَيَغْضِيَ amran kana مَفْعُولًا. This is something that should be done, and Allah would make it to happen. Whatever we do, this is something that... So he had that type of Elmul Ghayb. And of course, the Prophet had told him, Ya Ali, you will fight against Naqifin and Mariqin and Qasitin, and he knew who Naqifin were, he knew that it was Talha and Zubayr, he knew that the Prophet had told the truth, and he's going to fight against them. And we have other occasions, instances, why Zubayr desisted from fighting against Ali. You know, Zubayr desisted, he left the army and went, and he was killed on the way, of course. Why he was desisted? Because Ali reported something to him that he had forgotten from the Prophet, peace be on him. We'll see that next week. So many things are left for next week. Okay.